Okay, thank you very much, Tom, for inviting me to this project. It's been very inspiring so far. And I'm already looking forward to the discussion later, but first I want to share some thoughts with you. So in this image we see the 14 districts the GDR was organized in since 1952, showing a school type in each of them. When I mention the topic GDR school architecture, many people say, don't they look all the same? And yes, there are often many examples of one type present in one city, but in the bigger picture, there's far more variation than this image suggests. So today I want to share some thoughts on the school construction program in the 1960s, which constitutes a shift in educational politics and architecture. In the 1950s, new schools were needed. Providing people with education was as important as providing them with housing. Stalinallee in Berlin was a representative project aiming to show that the new state would provide high-quality housing and infrastructure for workers. Representative school construction projects were initiated in rural areas to overcome existing deficits in the sense of the Arbeiter- und Bauernstaat, the state of workers and farmers. The leading role of the teacher was propagated following educational politics of the Soviet Union, but also practices from the National Socialist State with the notion of national traditions and architecture. On the other hand, the use of those space-saving school benches and traditional building techniques probably suited economic resources of the time. In 1950, a school building committee was founded, and in 1951, Deutsche Bauakademie was founded as a research institute within the Ministry of Construction. Hermann Henselmann and Ludwig Deiters built some of the first representative schools and also worked on the central guidelines for the construction of schools. So plans for the new school buildings had to be approved by the committee according to these guidelines. The image shows type schools from the Soviet Union with symmetrical floor plans and Pausenhallen, so hallways with natural light for recreation during breaks. I'll show you this example by Ludwig Deiters to explain how these guidelines played out in practice. It's part of the second housing complex of Eisenhüttenstadt, a representative planned city called the First Socialist City, built for the new steelworks. The style is more modern than many other examples of the time, and therefore the required elements stick out. First, there's a representative entrance, elevated and with columns, and the symmetrical facade, some reduced ornamentation. On the floor plans, we see spacious staircases with natural light and a roof terrace attached to the auditorium. According to the guidelines, the entrance area, staircases, and common rooms should be representative with artworks and ornaments to encourage the formation of a school collective. So here we see tiles with plants and animals. It was designed as a primary school, so this was aiming at younger children. And then the auditorium and space between the auditorium and the roof terrace, and also an actual aquarium situated between classrooms and the hallway. Here we see a classroom, which is quite small for 30 students, even with those benches, and the teacher in front as the leader of the class. But not every school could be as prestigious as the one we just seen. So according to the guidelines, first type schools were designed. In this one, a brick building was used in the second socialist city, Hoyerswerda, another representative planned city. And it was available throughout the Republic as a Wiederverwendungsgrundprojekt, meaning that plans were used as a basis for site-specific solutions. This is an example published in 1964 with a swimming pool and a different roof construction here Which brings us to the school construction program. Apparently, almost 50% of school capacities existing in the GDR in 1990 were built between in the 1960s and 70s, just to show the dimension of the program. In 1958-59, the concept of polytechnic education with an emphasis on science, scientific approaches, and practical experience was introduced, meaning that science rooms and workshops were now considered more important than the classrooms. Also, instead of 8 years, 10 years of education at Polytechnische Oberschule, basically a comprehensive school, became mandatory. So more capacities were needed. And this newspaper article includes three main issues of the program. First, 25% of the construction had to be organized and realized locally by the community with voluntary work and donated materials, which proved to be difficult and was later reduced to 10%. Second, districts were urged to organize and coordinate school building activities, so planning on a larger scale became more important. And third, existing school types were not up to date in terms of construction methods, so some building parts were no longer being produced, and industrial construction methods had been developed and tested for housing, especially in Hoyerswerda, so new type schools for the use of prefabricated concrete systems needed to be developed. One of the first examples used in Cottbus still basically has a similar floor plan layout as former type schools. A somewhat representative entrance and Pausenhalle. This image shows a building of the same type with the same floor plans, but a different facade construction in Hoyerswerda. And remarkable is the planetarium in front. There's also an observatory on top of the school building, by the way. And the planetary was entirely built by volunteers between 1960 and 69. So we can imagine that there was some space age enthusiasm here. And second issue. This image shows the exemplary concept for a school building series in the district of Rostock, mentioned in the article. The building team with their machines would build a school on one side and maybe other social infrastructure buildings as well, and then move to a different city or a different site, and using their experience and documenting problems they encountered to improve the construction process and also the actual design of the school type. And this is the school they built. It exists in some variations throughout the years. The floor plan organization is quite different from the ones we saw before, since it's decentralized on three buildings. It has more or less square-shaped classrooms with light from both sides, the so-called Schuster Prinzip, and it doesn't have a central hall for the school collective or something like this. Another version of this type was later built in Riebnitz with an artwork by Rudolf Austen and Heinz Wotzika celebrating the technology of the space age. And here's another version of the school in a small village called Behrenhof with only two stories, but apparently considered an appropriate motive for a postcard, possibly illustrating progress, despite the more traditional artwork here. So how come these different floor plan layouts became possible? Additional to the requirements of polytechnic education, in a report sent from Bauakademie to State Secretary Walter Ulbricht, the concept of the day school was mentioned as an argument for square-shaped classrooms suitable for flexible uses. The day school concept was put forward in 1960 by the government. Some say as a sort of campaign, because 1 year before the war was built, too many people were leaving the country and the new educational system was causing controversies. So the day school was promoted as a way to support working moms, because unlike in the West, in the GDR, women were considered to be part of the workforce needed for economic survival. In this article, participation is emphasized in the process of implementing the day school concept in the country. Parents and students of each school should develop the concept together with the teachers. A survey is mentioned among students in Berlin saying they imagine activities like slideshows, visits at museums, book reviews, chess, cooking, and photography clubs, and discussions on good behavior. So indoctrination was said to be one of the main concerns of parents. However, the concept of the day school was too expensive to be fully realized, but it may have contributed to the idea of a flexible use of classrooms. This is an early and well-known example of a type school developed by Helmut Trautzettel at TU Dresden. Here we see three building slabs, and they are connected with three corridors, and we see split levels here, and also four courtyards. The school includes a gym and auditorium, which was argued to be cost-efficient compared to erecting the gym separately. On the other hand, a gym was not needed on every side, so the construction of the gym as a separate building was favored later. Navigating within the building, within this building, can become challenging due to the split levels, and you really have to know which staircase you need to take to get to the rooms. So still, it certainly creates interesting views or, perspectives. And the auditorium can be connected to a generous outside space. There's also a main entrance. Imagine an artwork up here. And in this case, it's situated in the back of the building due to the specific urban situation. So here it doesn't unfold its full effect. We have illuminated hallways. And the science room is situated on top of the main entrance, so in a way in a pole position. And here it's, in this particular example, it's directly connected to other science rooms. So possibly to encourage interdisciplinary lessons. The auditorium was well equipped with art as well. About 25 schools of this type were built in the district of Halle. And the design was developed further and adjusted along the way, and the process was documented. The district of Dresden wouldn't agree to build Trautzettel's design, but based on it, another type was developed. The idea was to reduce the floor area. So here we see two building slabs connected by three corridors, which are, in this case, connected on every level. So even though this design was based on the one we saw before, it creates a different spatial impression. This is an example that was recently refurbished. It's a monument in Bernhardstrasse in Dresden. It has an emphasized entrance as well. And here we see that while you're on the corridor, you can basically see everyone else who's moving in the building. An impression former students also described. So instead of this almost a maze we saw before, this is almost like a panopticon. Anyway, again, we see that art was an important element. This artwork from 1979 by Dieter Bock von Lennep is called Rakete, Rocket. The political aim was to develop a type project to be used all over the Republic, arguing this would be the most efficient solution. So in 1966, this school type developed in Erfurt was presented by Deutsche Bauakademie. The design has been criticized for its compactness. This image shows a double location with two attached buildings of this type. Classrooms are situated in the slab and special rooms are in the separate section. This type was further on developed and exists in at least three different versions. It was used in many districts but couldn't prevail as a centralized school type. Why? This image maybe illustrates a major problem of the idea of the centralized school type for the entire country, because we see three buildings all built from prefabricated concrete elements but in three different construction systems. In the early 1960s, the 2MP system was considered the standard for community buildings, such as schools, kindergartens, supermarkets. But not all the districts had the same capacities at their production facilities. This was brought up as the main reason why not all districts could use the centrally issued type project. So within the next 2 years, instead of the building type as such, only guidelines concerning cost efficiency became mandatory for the districts and school building. Subsequently, a variety of type school projects was developed and built during the 1960s and 70s. Here we see an example from Erfurt with an artwork at the entrance, and another building with basically the same floor plan, but a different construction and entrance situation. Again, I want to show another example with a similar floor plan, but a different spatial experience. So this type was developed in the 5MP system, again in the district of Rostock. It has a slab with classrooms and two sections with special rooms attached. So this section, for example, could be used for music lessons with group rooms for practicing music and still being sort of further away from the classrooms, so not to disturb them with the noise. And on the other hand, you could imagine a cluster-like situation on the upper floors in this area with three rooms used for biology, for example. The atmosphere on the upper floors could be quite contemplating because only few students go there, unlike the building before where most students were using the central hallway. So here we see an example with white painted metal facade, and here we see what was considered the use of what was considered regional materials applied with a forecourt and an elevated entrance, and you could again imagine an artwork up there above the entrance. So the flexible use of classrooms, in this case a kitchen. Obviously, today I'm not going into all building types created within the 1960s and 70s. I just want to add that the idea of a centralized school type came up again. In 1980, a new series of school types was presented, and the aim was to apply the most common construction system at the time used for housing, WBS 70, also to schools and other community buildings. Again, there were regional variations. This is an example from Leipzig. And we can see that the idea was to create a more compact building with less surface than other examples before, among other reasons, to reduce heating costs. And natural light in the hallways or lighting from both sides of the classrooms became less important. We do have an elevated entrance, though. And this is an impression from a classroom, which is not in use nowadays because of fire safety regulations. and the gym was constructed separately. So this image, in conclusion, this image doesn't fully reflect the variations of type school buildings in the GDR. Despite the differing building shapes, the image emphasizes their comparability, as if it wanted to prove that standardization had been effective. In fact, the catalog this image was taken from was developed in the Central Department for Standardization and Economic Efficiency in Education. After the end of the GDR, the two authors of this study were taken over as employees by the Conference of Education Ministers. The aim of the study was to show possibilities of refurbishing type school buildings in the former GDR. So, despite the political aim to reduce building costs by maximizing standardization and prefabrication, the school construction program of the 1960s marks a political shift of educational methods and allowed for a variation of spatial concepts on type school building. A book published in 1968 on school architecture in the GDR describes the school as a spatial system consisting of functional rooms and their relations to each other. So to me, it seems that these spatial relations constitute or determine architectural qualities of the type schools and allow for more or less flexible and creative uses. At this point, I wonder to what degree the local communities may have had a say in architectural matters, at least in singular cases on the level of execution planning, which appears to be a critical phase in appropriating the type projects. So there's still a lot for me to learn here, and that's why I'm looking forward to the discussion. Thank you.